Conley finds Glass. Fancy James Akintunde, who plays a low shot into the bottom corner to get us on their way here with the goals. Kevin Porter plays across. Dame McGonigal, who makes it. Derry City 7. Oliver Bond, Celtic 0. Jamie McGonigal. Will Patching gets his 10th goal of the season with a penalty kick. Derry City 1. Cork City 0. Towards the back post. And that's an aerial clearance, but it's dropped back for Diallo, who opens his account for Derry City to make it Derry City 2, Cork City 0. Towards the 6-yard box. There's a header! Derry City have taken the lead for the second time. Looking over to that far side, it looks like it was Danny Lafferty who possibly scored the winner there.
Well, and the ball was...
Plays it to Akintunde. Akintunde plays the overlap and run of Brandon Kavanagh. Kavanagh cuts on the 18-yard box. Goes for goal!
Fresh legs with an
option. Patrick McLennan inside the 18-yard box. Plays it across the face of goal. McLennan goes!
Well, there it is.
We're just 8 minutes into this fixture, and Jamie McGonigal has scored his third goal in 3 appearances here at the Brandywell. He manages to squeeze that between a couple of 3D players in the midfield to get it to Glass. Glass plays it off the chest of Duffy. Duffy stopping just short of the touchline. Plays it back to McJanet, who whips it into the box. And the header! Derry City have scored a second goal, and this time it is Brandon Kavanagh with the goal. Brandon Kavanagh.
Welcome to Match Night Live's FAI Cup special programme. I'm your host, Dermot Liddy. I have an absolutely packed show tonight. I've got guests with me to talk everything about the upcoming Blue Ribbon event this Sunday, the 13th of November, down at the Aviva. Superstars and experts I couldn't find, so I rattled up this motley crew around me and to talk about this big weekend's cup final. I have with me from the Derry Journal, Kevin McLaughlin. Our Match Night Live, one of our men from Dublin, Mr. James O'Toole. Big welcome to you two. And the next 4 guests are all ex-players with Derry City who had the absolute pleasure of lifting the cup as winners. We have our own Felix Healy, who of course scored the 89 winner and managed the team in 1995 to victory. We've got Paddy McLaughlin, Cliftonville manager and former player with Derry City, who was part of the 2002 winning team. Also, we have the very young and the very, very able Mr. Barry Malloy, who, well, he won 2, didn't he, in 2006 and 2012. And going back to 2012, we have another winner with us, Stephen McLaughlin, who left to join Forest after his win and played his trade in the English leagues and carved out and playing for Mansfield Town. Now, a massive welcome to you on. Thanks for joining us here to crack on with this show. So as I said, we're going to get underway. We're going to chat to their guests about their cup final memories, and we're going to hear the thoughts of our manager Rory Higgins. We're going to have a look at the referee watch, and we're going to hear from Derry City's Mark Connolly as well, and we'll just crack on because it's going to be very entertaining, I hope. I'm going to go straight to you, Kevin McLaughlin from the Derry Journal. Kevin, you've been out and about doing your journalistic duties around the town, and you've been in around the training camp and stuff and speaking to players. There's a real cup fever feel for it, isn't there?
There is, Dermot. There's a buzz definitely around the city. You've seen all the players this weekend and the schools. There's so many schools this week are doing the same, wanting more of the players to come on. I think this Friday is sort of the cut-off for Rory and the boys. They're basically going on to all the schools on Friday. The bars are chatting about it. It really is cup fever, and I just left the Brandywell there now. The club shop, they're queuing again. They buy more merchandise for the final Sunday, and that's exactly what everybody wants.
Oh, great signs there of the travel and support to go down their hordes. And we'll cross over to you, James, in Dublin. And you spoke to Damien Duff earlier in the week, and you know, what's the buzz like down there? What's in that neck of the woods? Is there much about it down there?
Yeah, it's busy enough now. As we all know, Shelburne would be the type of club that they don't have a massive fan base, and they've been put in the south stand for Sunday's game. And just looking at it before we come on here, there's still a couple of sections of the south stand that's still available to purchase. So that's a bit disappointing, but as far as a panic towards it going, Media Day was here in Dublin yesterday in the Aviva. That's where I caught up with Damien. But there is a bit of a buzz happening about it now. And the FAI themselves are looking for a big, big crowd to help with that buzz. And I think the fact that so many Derry fans are heading down the road is going to help with that.
Oh, great. It's great to hear that type of thing happening. Well, Felix, we'll cross over to you. And, of course, we'll go back maybe to Derry's first one in 1989. And we'll go to the replay, because in the 11th minute, you gave Derry an early lead. It turned out to be the only goal of the final. And, you know, it, not only did it win the cup for us, Felix, it absolutely clinched the treble. What's your memories of that?
Memories are that it was a long time ago, first of all. It's one of those where my own personal memories are that I was just glad it was over. It had been a long season. I've said many times, I mean, I hadn't trained for quite a long time. Most weeks I was playing on one leg. We played the first leg, 0-0. And my leg went after about 10 minutes, and I spent the whole week, didn't think I was going to make a replay. And never slept the whole week. And when I scored after 11 minutes, Jim should have brought me off, because I contributed absolutely nothing afterwards. But when you score goals, you get away with murder.
Well, it could have been all so different when Dave Barry hit the inside of the post the week before. Could
I
end
it? Yeah, well, I heard a clip. My other half was watching some stuff last night, and I heard a clip of Richie Kelly. We played Bowes, who were decent that year, and they were 1-0 up and got a penalty. Tim Dalton saved the penalty. And all of a sudden, we scored two goals, you know, quarter final, two goals within the space of 5 minutes, and turned the game on its head. And to be honest, at 1-0, we hadn't really kicked it. And Tim redeemed himself, because it was a crazy penalty giveaway. But along the way, to win cups, you need a bit of luck.
Well, you certainly do that. Well, Stephen, a bit of luck, maybe not so much luck, but when you won the cup in 2012, it culminated in a great season for you. You had an excellent season that season, and to get a cup winner's medal, surely it was one of the highlights of your career.
I said, yeah, it was a great season. You know, me and David McDade, I think we finished joint top goal scorers that season. But for me, the whole thing was like, I've never been involved like that. Coming from Clamani and that, it was great, you know.
Yeah, it turned out that, you know, you got your move to Nottingham Forest, and you started your career over there. And were you aware that the scouts were there to watch you? And did that impact your performance at all? You know, you thought, I'll go out here and deliver in front of these guys as well.
No, I had no idea, to be honest. I had no idea whatsoever. And then it was only after that things started to happen. Really, I think it was the following week. I was over at Forest on a trial, and that was just, you know, I was still in the moment of winning the cup, and I couldn't believe it. You know, the family and all coming over, and when I first signed, it was surreal, to be honest. I did have a good season, but I just didn't think it was going to happen. You know, I was just enjoying my football, and that's the thing. As you say, like, you need a bit of luck along the way, and we had our fair share going to that final as well.
Well, it's all about luck, and you know, sometimes you need that. As Felix said, they won a cup final. Paddy McLaughlin, 20 years ago, Paddy, since you won the cup. I mean, I was going to ask you for your standout memory, but I mean, do you want to go into the archives and have a look for that? I mean, what was your big standout moment in 2002? That was at Tokel Park against Shamrock Rovers, and it was a cup final everybody was looking forward to, Derry City and Shamrock Rovers at the time. So tell us your standout memory then.
Felix said there at the start, you need that bit of luck, and we definitely carried a vast majority of luck in Ireland. We were away to Cork in the semi-final. I think they missed a penalty, and we scored a free kick, probably the only strike we got on goal. Sean Fryers, unbelievable, 25 yards, put it in the top corner, probably the only shot we had, got us to a final. So, and then when we got to the final, Liam Coyle scored a brilliant overhead kick against Shamrock Rovers. But from then on in, I don't think the ball left our 18-yard box for too long. Alan Goff was playing on the edge, and geez, he put on an unbelievable performance. Him and Doherty was a captain in the middle of the park, ran himself into the ground, threw himself in front of everything. And when you talk about winning cups, and you talk about you need a bit of luck, but you need a bit of quality as well. And Liam provided the quality, and the rest has provided a bit of luck at you. And we needed, because it was almost like the Alamo for the last 20 minutes, but we hung in there. And it was a crazy kind of game, because there was a delay in that match. During the match, the Shamrock Rovers fans had said one of the pillars of a light, it was covered in foam for safety reasons. And strange kind of for a cup final, you know, the place was crammed, you know, ram-packed. Ed Kelly landed 15 minutes before kickoff. He missed his flight over. I know it was unbelievable, the experience at the time, but there were so many things, so many distractions going on as well, too. It was hard to sort of keep up with everything that was going on, but one of the best days of your football career, like definitely one of the cup with your hometown club.
Let's come to you, Barry Molloy, and you're one of the players that won it a couple of times, as I said in the introduction, but let's go back to the 2006 game, Barry, and everybody knows that was an enthralling cup final and horrendous conditions, blowing a gale, downpours, a bit of hail, but it didn't take away from the quality of football on that on display in that final.
No, well, you're right there. It was horrendous conditions, to be honest, but we had some great footballers on our side that year, to be honest, and the likes of Mark Farn and Paddy McCourt, they kind of lit up the final, especially in the first half when we were 1-0 down, but just an unbelievable occasion, obviously. Yeah, and the fact that it was the last game in Lansdowne as well, it was an unbelievable occasion, but I think we had a great season leading up to that as well, and we just lost out in the league slightly the week or two before, so we were very determined to go and take a next step that year, but it was an unbelievable achievement. They won the game in the circumstances that we did.
Absolutely, and you played in the midfield with the current manager, Rory Higgins, but you must have had a better final in Humbury because he gets subbed in the 79th minute.
Well, I was just a wee bit fitter, to be fair, but no, obviously Rory was a great player as well, to be honest, but I think we had to dig our heels on that game, and that was more my game than Rory's, to be fair. Like.
Well, fair enough, and on that note, what we're going to do now is we're going to listen to our manager, Rory Higgins, and his thoughts ahead of Sunday's Cup final.
Well, Rory, fast approaching the showpiece final on Sunday down at the FIFA. How's the mood in the camp, and how's the preparations going?
Aye, brilliant. It's obviously a different week, but we want to try and normalise it as much as possible in terms of our... Of course, it's not normal, but in terms of how we approach the game, try and approach it how we always approach it and prepare, how we always prepare, and really looking forward to it.
How do you focus your mind, Rory? Because as a player yourself, and being involved in finals, chatting to the players today, and you know they just want it to be Sunday, they just want to be there, they just want to be playing. How do you focus their mind up until that?
Well, it's important that we do all our work this week and everyone knows their roles and responsibilities in the team and prepare for every eventuality, I suppose. And it's great that everyone's excited, but it's important we keep our eye on the ball and know that it's a game of football, ultimately, that we have to go and try and win.
It's a game of football, as you say, keep your eye on the ball, because your opponents are Shelburne, and they proved really tricky opponents in the four games this season, really tight games, and Damien Duff will obviously have his troops fired up, so this isn't an easy game by any stretch.
No, absolutely not, and anyone that's seen the four games between the pair of us this season will know that our supporters are very educated as well, so they'll know that it's not going to be very straightforward whatsoever. If we're going to win the cup, we're going to have to earn it, and that's the way I see it. We're going to have to be at our very best, but we're in good. I think we'll be in good physical condition the last few weeks. We've managed people and shared the minutes around, so I'm hoping that we see the fruits of that now on Sunday.
Well, the city is at fever pitch already, shall we say? It's all talk. Wherever you go, where I'm standing, supermarket queues yesterday, people were asking, where are we staying? What time are we going? Are we going by bus, car, train? What is it? It's all talk in the city about the FA Cup, but surely that's what it has to be, doesn't it?
Aye, that's what you dream of. And whatever, back in April last year when I took the job, you dream of moments like this and weeks like this. The players and the staff here have been absolutely brilliant to get us to this point, but when you get the finals, you want to go and jump the final hurdle. So, it's a really, really important that we focus on the game and what we're trying to achieve, and then hopefully enjoy ourselves for a few days if we bring the trophy back up the road.
Well, you joined Derry City, as you said, last April, but the reason you joined, you're the team that you played for, Rory, and the reason why you manage is the challenge for titles. You've done that best position in 16 years, finishing second, to get the cup finals and hopefully won them and get into Europe. That's the reason why you manage, isn't
it? Of course, and our big goal, and we sat down with Philip and Sean and the board or whatever at the start of the season, that we wanted to cement their place in Europe again this year, see how much we could push And we finished second, as you said, for the first time in 16 years, so that's progression. And now that we're in a cup final, it would make it extra special if we could win a piece of silver.
Well, you've a mix of experience in your team that you'll put out the field on Sunday, Rory. And, you know, you have the likes of Patrick McElhinney and Shane McElhinney, and you have Danny Lafferty, and, you know, all those type of players that have been to cup finals, won them, played for a long time around. But is your message different to those who are in it for the first time to those who have the experience?
No, well, we've played Shelburne four times. We're playing Shelburne on a different pitch. That's the only difference, in a different stadium. You're right, we do have players with good experience. Patrick's about to play his eighth cup final, I think, which is an unbelievable achievement for someone who's only 30. Amazing. And we've got lads who are playing their first, but normally on days like this, it can be the lads who are playing their first can be the heroes, and hopefully one of that pack emerges as a real hero.
Absolutely. We're looking for a hero come Sunday. And, well, James, you hear from the Derry manager there, he's got a squad full of talent. You know, we've seen that Patrick McElhinney, for his age at 30, will be playing his eighth FAI Cup final. That's some achievement in itself. But, you know, they had to do without the services of Sadio Diallo, who was dismissed in the last home game, so automatically. But, you know, that's a big blow for Derry, isn't it, James?
It is, yeah. The reason it's a massive blow is that over the last couple of weeks, Rory has seen that the league has gone. So we started building minutes into players and getting players a certain amount of minutes without pushing players too far. And that was part of the plan the other night on Friday or Sunday, was to get Diallo some minutes on the pitch before the cup final. And to see him lash out the way he did, it's rather disappointing. But it does give him a chance to see. I personally think himself and Patching weren't playing all that great beside each other for the last couple of games. So it might give him a different option to go for now. But for Diallo himself, like, I believe 11 of his family are coming over for the cup final. It's the biggest game he's ever played in. And to have it taken away on a red card in a league game, we go through this year after year. It seems just like nonsense. Like, and it sets back a manager's plan from two or three weeks ago, that he's back to square one, seeing what he plays. Like, in fairness, a lot of us here, Felix and Paddy, will tell us what it's like if that happens and they're heading a big game.
It's absolutely gut-wrenching for him, you know, and, well, there's nothing can be done at this stage. But, Kevin, suppose we could focus on now on Derry's opponents, Shelburne. You know, Derry will be tagged as favourites because of their league position, but the four games they've played this season have been very tight, haven't they?
Sean Boyd up front, so Fred, he finished the season very strongly. He scored 10 goals, you know, so he's starting to score goals. But look, it's about Derry at the end of the day. As Felix would tell you, it's just about your team and your players performing on the day, and that's what Rory will be hoping these players do. And Damien Duff will be thinking the same. But from a Derry point of view, they just have to make sure that they do their battles and win their battles and hope that they come out on top.
Well, listen, Paddy, it was what's it like for a hometown boy to win the cup? And I mean, talk about the homecoming when you're bringing the trophy onto the streets of Derry. Must have been brilliant for you.
It was as a local boy, it's probably the biggest game of your career, especially your first one. You're playing in front of your family, your friends, and everybody almost that knows you. It feels like the age of the world's on you whenever you're young and it's your first cup final. But I think it's important that the players, and I'm sure Rory will emphasise, it's don't play the occasion. You know, you play the final, you give it everything you have. You don't know when the next final will be, so give it everything you have. Don't leave nothing to regret and empty everything you have out onto the pitch. And I think the Irish quality over the course of the season, they've been very unlucky not to win the league title. And I think over the course of the game, it will be frantic at stages. It will be a frantic start, I'm sure. Both sides will not want to give much away, but you know, if the boys can get the business done, you know, it'll be a massive achievement for them, and it could be a catalyst for what could happen with a club and for Rory over the next few years. You know, they've got the business of everything that you would need. You know, Philip has obviously backed Rory really well, and Rory's got he's going to have a great career in front of him as a young manager. So you know, it could be the start of some great times at Derry today. So hopefully they don't get caught up too much on the hype and don't get too caught up too much on, you know, the occasion of a big cup final. But I do believe that they've got the ability and they've got the right man in charge. I'll keep guiding them through this weekend and the final, and hopefully they go and win the cup, because it'll be brilliant for the city and brilliant for a new group of players and a lot of young local players there as well.
Aye, absolutely. I mean, it's great to hear a fellow manager talk in those glowing terms. Well, Barry, final Santa Aviva, great stadium to showcase, I suppose, your own individual talent. It's live on TV. There'll be some players playing there for the first time, their final. I mean, if you were there, you've been captain of Derry, Barry, if you were there, what type of advice would you be giving them going out on the pitch for the first timers?
Just again, like Paddy says, you've got to enjoy it because you just don't know when your next cup final is going to be. But it's just a matter when you're playing, the build up and all is brilliant to the match, but you just want to get out and start warming up and that and get your first touch of the ball and win your first tackle and stuff like that. But just sort of start the game well, really, and start on the front foot, really. I think that's the main thing in a final, because we know yourself, you're going to be nervous, you're going to be frantic to begin with, but if you can go and win your first tackle, go and win your first header, now it sets the tone for the rest of the game.
Well, Felix, you went from winning the cup final in 89 and you managed Derry in 1995 with the one over Shelburne, 2-1, and that was at Lansdowne 2, and Derry went 2-0 up. But is there a different set of emotions for the manager? What's the feelings like as a manager as opposed to a player? Is it better winning it as a manager or a player?
Well, for me personally, winning it as a manager was better.
Right.
But when you're a player, you just go and play. When you're the manager, you're a nervous wreck. You know.
Paddy McLaughlin's nodding, you know, away there.
Yeah, I mean, you're a nervous wreck.
Good shout.
And it is unbearable at times. I mean, when we were 2-0 up against Shelburne in 95 and we were coasting, and all of a sudden I think it was Brian, there was a fella played wide left for them, and Kinnaird did a great job on him. He was a very good player, played for Shelburne, but he crossed the ball back to Vinnie Arcus and he headed it and Storkey punched it over the bar and they got a penalty and scored, and then for the last 10 minutes you're saying to yourself, but it's amazing how long 2 or 3 minutes can be. It is amazing how long, you know. It's the same when you're trying to score a goal, the 2 or 3 minutes flies by, but when you're trying to those last 2 or 3 minutes on that day in 95 was the longest 2 or 3 minutes of my life. But you can't buy, I said this recently, when the referee blew the whistle and we won the cup, you can't buy that kind of rush that you get of adrenaline. I mean, I'm lucky enough to score a number of goals in cup finals, and I know what it was like to score cup finals, and you get a serious adrenaline rush. It's the same, but as a manager, it when that happens and they blow the whistle, it's the same when I was lucky enough to win the league. When the whistle goes, your body just goes into this different stratosphere. And then all of a sudden, somebody just lets a balloon out of it, you know. It's interesting going back to listen to what Paddy and Barry said. One of the things you said to players about try to enjoy it, and I'm not sure I know what they're getting at, but sometimes you enjoy it if you win.
Right.
Alex Ferguson, if you look back at Alex Ferguson's time at Manchester United, there was one word that he used to use time after time after time: concentration. If you concentrate from the first whistle, do your job. Do your job, forget about around you, play the match, concentrate. Concentration will be everything. The lads have talked about, when you get into a cup final, no matter how many times somebody tells you, you see when the lads are driving to the Aviva on Sunday morning and they see all the Derry crowds, they'll be crapping themselves on the bus. Be under no illusion. In 88, I said this to Jim McLaughlin many times, although we lost the dodgy penalty in 88, there was guys in the back of our bus who were literally crying, watching the people streaming by the bus, roaring at players and roaring all this year. The occasion got too much for them.
Right.
When you're playing Dundalk. And the occasion would be too much for some players on Sunday, on both teams. And that's where it's important. That's where it's important that when we talk about the quality players, that you're hoping that they deliver. But the most underrated thing and the most important thing on Sunday is luck.
Well,
if Lady Luck smiles on you, you'll do all right.
Well, I mean, sometimes you have to create your own luck. Sometimes the referees have an influence. You referenced there, Felix, penalty in 88.
You know, I heard Rory talking about you have to legislate for every eventuality. That you can't legislate for referee giving a dodgy penalty.
Well, you can. That leads us on nicely, folks, to referee watch. And there's obviously, it's the third team. It's not just Darian Shelburne taking to the pitch on Sunday. It's the referee team led by referee Damien McGrath, secondary school teacher from County Mayo. He's also the chairman of the Mayo branch of the Irish Soccer Referees Association. He's also a referee instructor. He's been refereeing since 2002, 20 years at it. So he joined the panel as an assistant referee in 2005. He made the FIFA list 2 years later as an assistant referee. And he has been an assistant in the final in 2007 and 2010. He was the additional assistant referee, no one of those that waves the wand behind the net, in 2018. And last season, he was fourth official. So he's no stranger to the FIFA or finals. So and he's also done the League Cup final in 2006. That's the Tanta Cup final in 2011. He's also very experienced. He refereed in the Euros in 2012 in the Ukraine and Poland. And he's refereed, he's done the line actually in the Champions League quarter-final, Juventus. So he's very vastly experienced. He's refereed Derry three times this season, and we've only had two draws and a one from him, so, and five yellow cards. So he's not the worst in the world. So best of luck to him and the rest of the team. He'll be assisted by Christopher Campbell, Brian Fenlon, fourth official Ben Connolly, and reserve official goes to Rob Clark. As I said, best of luck to them. Hope there's no controversy and it goes smooth. This will lead us on nicely. A bit of nostalgia, and Felix might like to listen to this. I caught up with 1995 Cup Final referee Mick Tomley. He took charge the last time Derry beat Shelburne in the Cup Final. I had a great chat to him, and listen up now, because he relives his memories of the 95 Cup Final. Okay, Michael, delighted that you're here to talk to us about your memories. Of course, you refereed the 1995 final. That's a long time ago, 27 years ago. But before we get round to the Cup Final of 1995, where Derry City played Shelburne, and for all the Derry fans, we all know we won that. Let's talk about your refereeing career, Michael. When did you actually get on to the senior panel of the FAI?
I got on to the senior panel in about 10 years earlier.
So just when Derry started coming back into the league, really, well, 85, 86. So you were about then when Derry were bringing the massive crowds and the red and white carnival atmosphere to many a ground.
I especially remember Belgium Park in Monaghan. I don't know whether you were ever visited, but it wasn't Wembley. Let's put it that way.
It was,
and the crowds that Derry City brought, they nearly invaded Monaghan on that particular day. So
fast forward to the 1995 Cup Final, and let's talk about your memories from that. I mean, first of all, you've got to be appointed to that, obviously, and there's obviously a process for a referee to be appointed to the Blue Ribbon event, to the National Cup Final. Tell us how that came about. Tell us how you were appointed to the final.
It comes about after nearly the completion of the season, and a referees committee sit and they go over all the performances over the season, and then they decide on who was going to referee the Cup Final, and I was selected in that manner.
That's absolutely brilliant. You know, it's a great personal accolade, no doubt. And, you know, well, tell us, did you have an inkling that it might have happened, or did it come out of the blue, actually? Was it a bolt out of the blue, and you thought, and you were shocked, and you thought, well, I've got there, so I'm going to nail it?
Well, it wasn't a surprise, because it was well heralded during the course of the season by some of the reports that we were getting back from the referees inspectors. And I was really delighted when I was selected, because it is the blue ribbon.
Well, it's a proud moment. As you say, it's like the pinnacle of the season and maybe your refereeing career. But, you know, it's also what people don't understand. It's also a big day for the family, for your wife and your children, and, of course, your extended family. It's like a big day out for them. And, you know, it's a very proud moment for everyone who is about you and who loves you as well.
The whole family were delighted. Most of them were over at the game, including my son, Derek, as you know, went on to referee a Cup Final in 2019. And he was at me, so it's all the way through.
Let's get down to the brass tacks of the actual game, Michael. The build-up in the changing room with your assistants and the fourth official. Do you get nervous? Is there a nervous energy and you just want to get out there and get it started and get on it so that you can enjoy it?
Yeah, it's a fairly nervy time, and as you know, three teams go out onto the park. You have Derry City and Shelbourne, and then the team of officials. We have to ensure on that particular day that we're in the best of form and hopefully do well. So there's a lot of nervous energy in the dressing room, but you just want to get out there, blow the horse whistle, and get back into it. You know that type of way.
You want to get the big decisions right. So let's talk about those big decisions, Michael. Derry already 1-0 up. Peter Hutton put them into the lead. But the second goal came from a penalty that you awarded. Liam Coyle went over in the box, and you were right there. They'd only gone 3 or 4 yards into the box. Liam Coyle goes over under a Tommy Dunn challenge, and you're right there at the 18-yard box. You're standing right on the line, 3-4 yards away, and you blow immediately and give the penalty.
Yes, I was right there. I actually could have put in a better tackle than Tommy did put in to take the ball away from Liam. But Liam, with his silky skills, just pushed it to one side, and Tommy's leg came in, and I pointed straight to the spot. I was 3 yards away.
You awarded the penalty. It was a chance for Derry to go 2-0 up and maybe put the game to bed there, Michael. And, you know, there's also archive footage of you and Stuart Gold having a few words together. What exactly was said there?
Well, when I pointed to the spot, as you know, you have to get everything in position there. He was going to place the ball. He said to me, "Thanks very much, Mick. This is all the type of pressure I need on this particular day." I said to him, "Look, the best of luck anyway." He had the broadest smile I ever seen on a fella's face.
Then Derry had to sit out a few nervous moments near the end, because just a few minutes after that penalty, you award the second penalty, this time to Shelbourne, when the ball was floated into the box and Derry's midfielder, Paul Carlisle, jumps up and flicks it with his hand inexplicably. Colin Murphy, the Shelbourne manager, was a wee bit muffed that you never give a red card. Did it ever enter your mind to give Paul Carlisle a red card?
No, it never came into my mind about a red card, because, again, I was very, very close to the action. The ball was actually heading, it wasn't heading into the goal, it was heading across the goal, probably heading out of play. It wasn't a definite goal-scoring opportunity. I gave the penalty, which I thought was sufficient, and a yellow card.
I suppose from a Derry City point of view, in that era, who was a pleasure, the referee, and who wasn't?
Although there was a language barrier, I always liked Pascal Vaudicant, very silky player. And of course, Mick Neville would always have a word in your ear, good, bad or indifference. Mm. And he wouldn't let you away with too much.
Well, let's go full circle, because in 2019, your son, as you mentioned him, Derek, refereed that. I mean, and I suppose that then became another very proud moment for you, father-son, who done the cup final just like Pat Kelly and Alan. So it's a rare occurrence in senior football in Ireland.
Well, believe it or not, Dermot, it was one of the most proudest moments of my life, and it was even a bigger highlight and a delight for me to see my son out there refereeing the cup final. He had a great match, but it was one of the proudest moments of my life.
Well, listen, Michael, we have to wrap it up there. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
I just wanted to say thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to have this chat with you. It's a long, long time ago, but I have very, very fond memories, and you brought it all back to me, and I really appreciate that.
Absolutely brilliant talking to 1995 Cup Final referee Michael Tomley from Dublin. Absolute gentleman. It was a pleasure, and thanks for your memories on that. I suppose I'm going to come to you, Barry, because I have some stats here. I've got Paddy McLaughlin's stats. Paddy, I'm just going to call these out because I want Barry to comment on them. 214 games for Derry, Paddy, 5 goals and 2 in the cup. Barry Malloy, 353 games for Derry, 13 goals, but only 1 in the cup. I mean, Paddy's a defender, you're a bustling midfielder, they get one more goal in the cup. What's all that about?
Well, you have to remember that I spent about two years at Derry covering Paddy. Do you know what I mean? So I didn't get the chance to go forward, you know what I mean? But scoring goals is never my forte, let's be honest.
I was talking to Alan Reynolds today too. He said he was the same type of player as you, a sitter. And he says there was one day he was playing Derry, and I can't remember who his manager was, and he says, get forward. He says, "I'm going to leave Barry me wake." He says, "You made a sprint forward and the hamstring went." So, not only that, you've scored less goals than Paddy, and you're damaging the opposition's hamstrings from sedentary positions. I don't know why.
But, couldn't happen to a better fella.
tell us your plans for the game, Barry. What are you doing to watch it? I know you're over there in England, but what's the plans for Sunday?
I was planning to try and get back for it, but I just couldn't make it. Just with everything going on at the minute in my own life, but I've got a party planned just in the house with the kids and that, and a few friends are coming around, and we're going to drink a lot of beer, so hopefully we'll be celebrating Derry won that again.
Oh, that sounds like a great plan. It's a pity the kids aren't there, because they were at the last couple of finals that you won. You know, there's loads of family photographs doing the rounds, but I suppose, Stephen, I can give you your stats for Derry. I mean, you had this is a lot better than Barry's, and 76 games, 23.
Wouldn't be hard.
No, there's 76 games, I said, 23 goals, but 4 in the cup. So, a couple of seasons with Derry, and I mean, like 5 times more goals than Barry. I mean, that's an achievement in itself, you know.
I didn't actually know them stats, to be honest. It's quite good, but Barry is.
You're breaking up awfully bad there, Stephen. Is your Wi-Fi signal strong, or is it as weak as Barry's shooting, or what? Well, I can tell you. Well, Felix, you're sitting there too, so I have your stats. You 164 games for Derry, 38 goals. Like 100. Somebody say that again, Felix. 164 games, half of Barry Molloy's, but 38 goals. 2 in the cup, and 1 was the final, clinched the treble. You mean?
And I was a sitting midfielder.
There you are. But
when you play with Paul Doolan, you've got to be a sitting midfielder.
Oh, there you are. You see, that's a thing. So, well, suppose James, you know, we were talking about, you know, a bit of luck going Derry's way, refereeing decisions being made on the day, and I suppose, and I was chatting earlier about the players playing for the first time, you know, it's all set up for somebody to emerge the hero, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And you talk about refereeing decisions, I'm surprised you didn't get Anthony Butmer in there to do a bit of a remind us of the 2006 cup final.
Yeah,
and he gave away that day, like, but
deliberately left him out.
It's a mix of, like, we look at this, we left him out, did you? Shocking. But it's kind of a mix of maturity within the squad to show the younger guys what to expect. But in fairness, these guys are playing big games all the time now. It's not a case of they're just turning up for one game. So they'll have, Rory will have them underway. He'll know, they'll be drilled into them exactly what to expect. The only issue that might come about this is that Ireland play Fiji on Saturday afternoon. And it's how the pitch to Aviva is actually going to look for the cup final. And if the pitch is in good nick, I think the Brandywell itself has hampered Derry this year and over the last couple of years, because that pitch is a disaster. But on a grass pitch, you would hope that the luck will go their way. And then you hope that Mr. McGrath doesn't have an absolute howler of a game as well.
Okay, we all hope that. Paddy, I'm going to come back to you. I mean, who did you room with in the cup final? Did you get up to any oil nonsense?
I was a sensible one.
Jesus, there's no chance that's true.
whoa. I'm backing up here. I was in the Portmarnock Sands after the 2002 Cup Final. I can 100% say you were not the sensible one.
Well, the reason I ask that, Paddy, because the starting 11, the starting 11 on that Cup Final were Derry men, and there was yourself, and there was a young Kevin Deary on the bench. He was 17. Darren McCready come off the bench, another Craigan man. You know, I suppose Peter Hutton was playing, another Craigan man, so there had to be a bit of up to no goodness with them four alone, you know.
James, I thought we made a pact about what happened in the part Monarch stayed in there.
Well, I mean, the most senior person in the room, and forgive me for saying it, is Felix, but there were some wild celebrations the night Derry clinched the treble, and you've always kept tight-lipped on that, haven't you? There you go. That's your answer, folks. That's Felix Healy's answer to the 1989 celebrations.
I don't really remember that much about the match, to be honest. People keep asking me about 89, everything else. The one thing I do remember is the celebrations afterwards. That was a party of all parties that night. And it lasted, I don't think anybody went to bed. I mean, I think it's the first time I was sitting drinking Buck's Fizz, and I mean the real Buck's Fizz, at about 8:30 in the morning, me and McLaughlin and the chairman Ian, three of us sitting, and I don't think McLaughlin had shoes and socks on at this time, because at that time Jim couldn't put his shoes on. you know, seriously, McLaughlin couldn't produce you. He was in agony most of the time. I'll tell you a quick story.
Go ahead.
The day before we played in the replay, Jim and I went for a walk. And he says, I can't go any further. We only went sort of 400 yards. And he lay down the wall and he fell asleep. And he sort of, I come back, which, no, you nudge them. He says, that's it. I've made my mind up now what the team is for tomorrow. And he made one change. But Jim was literally in agony around that time, both his hips. He literally couldn't put his shoes on. You know, he was in agony all the time.
The Bucks fizz lubricated it,
though, didn't it? The Bucks fizz, it deadened. Yes, it's hard a wee bit of Moroccan woodbine at that time in the morning.
That would do it as well. I mean, Barry, I suppose in 2006, after that epic final, and Stephen Kenny was a manager and he had gone off to sunnier claims in Scotland, shall we say. I mean, you were probably dancing the Bucks fizz at 6 in the morning, were you?
No, I think mine was more Smirnoff Ice at that stage, but... Same as Felix, you know, there's certain things you forget about the match, but you always remember the celebrations afterwards. And I was fortunate to have my firstborn Ellie on the pitch and dancing in the hotel afterwards. And it's just great memories. And obviously everyone was buzzing bringing the trophy back, but it was just an amazing occasion, you know. And that's the stuff you look back on and you really enjoy.
Well, Kevin McLaughlin, I mean, we'll come to you, Kevin. I mean, talking about their cup final memories, what was your favourite cup final, and give us the reasons why? I mean, there's been some crackers over the 10 we've been in before.
Well, obviously we can all talk about 95 and obviously 89 with the treble. I was still only a mere whoopper at that stage, but that's neither here nor there. But I remember 89 we were just talking off air, and Felix was just saying the amount of people was down there, it was just something else. I mean, when you think back to it now, but no, to be fair to Baz, 2006 was something else. Like the Weller, everything was just crazy. You think you're down and out so many times, and then Big Clive steps up in with a header and stuff like that. And even the one Paddy's talking about where Liam scores the wonder goal against Rovers. I had actually wrecked my ankle earlier that week and went down the Tolka on crutches. So there's no footage, thankfully, of me with crutches up and the goal went in. But I can remember that just because there wasn't much celebrating. I was lying with crutches.
You're no stranger to an accident, are you?
That's a straight red there, Felix, but I'll give you that one.
I'll tell you, this is all gone for pub claimants here, I think, you know. But here,
I don't push you up in the higher rate.
Well, to be fair now, I mean, I can confirm you were a whoppet at one stage. Now you're the size of a St. Bernard, but, well... what we're going to do now, folks, I mean, from reminiscing about... FAI Cup Finals in the bygone days, we're actually going to listen now to present day player Mark Connolly, and I caught up with him earlier on.
Okay, Mark, fast approaching Cup Final, how's preparations going for you?
Yeah, it's been good. It's been it's one of them things you just kind of want it to be today, the final, the wait. But yeah, no, it's been good. The boys are all fresh, they're looking well and ready to rock, just all ready for Sunday.
Does the weight kill you? I mean, it's a few days away. I mean, it's just, you want to be on the pitch, don't you?
You kind of want to be on the pitch and just getting ready and ready to go and stuff like that. There's the weight, the build-up, that's kind of the annoying part. But yeah, we need to work on stuff and be ready and set up well for Sunday. And we've been doing that, and we'll keep doing that throughout the rest of the week. And then we'll be ready to rock Sunday.
Well, you came to the club, Mark, midway through the season. And no doubt when... both Rory and Alan travelled to Scotland to talk to you. They sold you the club as, and you know, you'd be challenging for trophies, cup finals, and here it is, and this is where you want to be.
Yeah, and again, that was a big reason why I came to the club. It was to win trophies, to be fighting at the top end of the table, and but also it's a fantastic football club with fantastic people. I was told many things about the city, how amazing it was, and everything's been spot on. So delighted we're in a cup final. Disappointed we didn't win the league. Finishing second for the first time, I think it's in 16 years or something, which is an incredible achievement from everyone at the club. And a cup final now to look forward to for the whole of Derry to get behind us, and hopefully we can do the job.
Well, as you were saying, you were told everything's amazing about the city, and you know, there's real cup fever. I mean, are the players sensing it? Have you got a feel of that? You know, the schools are bedecked in red and white. Everybody's excited. Thousands of tickets sold. They're going to be travelling to the National Stadium, down to the Aviva, and there are hordes. And I'm talking to fans left, right and centre, Mark, and they're really excited. I mean, is that seeping through to the players?
Yeah, I think it's definitely seeping through to me. I've been, since I think we beat Shamrock Rovers, I think people were kind of ready for the final, and going into the local shop and stuff like that there. You're kind of speaking to people, and they're saying about their hotels booked and tickets booked and everything. So I think the boys know how big it is, and Derry itself, the schools, like you said, me child's school now, they're all dressing up red and white on Friday, which is amazing, and she's buzzing when she found out about it. So the fever's high, and we're all ready to rock.
Well, the opponents are Shelburne. This no easy opponents in finals, Mark. We know that, but Derry are. They've been tagged as favourites, and as been saying the other players there who've been interviewing, that you know, that doesn't really count on a final, does it?
No, I think finals, everything, form, league positions, who's the favourites, all that goes out the window. It's purely on the day and who turns up and who has that better quality. Listen, Shelburne are a tough team. They've been tough all season. So we know exactly what we've got to expect on Sunday. We just need to make sure we look after ourselves and do what we need to do, and hopefully that takes care of itself.
Derry City centre half there, Mark Connolly, talking ahead of Sunday's game. I suppose, Stephen, I've asked everybody, I must come over and ask you then, how did your celebrations go in 2012?
Very memorable. I can remember Barry Malloy in the bus beside the toilet for a while.
Oh, interesting. Elaborate.
On the way up the road. No, whatever stays in the bus, eh? It's heading up the road and getting on that stage in Derry was surreal for me, from a man just from Inishowen, from Kilmarnock, to be standing on that stage and lifting that trophy in front of all my own family and friends that came up as well, like busloads came from Inishowen. That is a very, very proud moment for me.
Brilliant, brilliant to hear. And I'll just get your thoughts. Stephen, I've got to ask you, I'm going to ask all the ex-players this, but I'll let you have first crack at it. And you don't have to, no under pressure, because Barry Malloy is on the programme, but who was the best player you played with in the final for Derry?
In the final? God. We had good players then. Honestly, we did.
I know, but you have to pick one.
There's too many, you know, but now you'd have to give it to Barry, wouldn't you? He was the driving force in the midfield for us.
I wouldn't even give it to me, to be fair.
It's
an easy out, isn't it?
It's an easy way out, I suppose. I better go.
No, I can't forget that, you know. Different, but that goal against Linfield, Barry. Remember the header?
I remember it, don't worry.
That was Barry Malloy all over.
Well, keeper was poor.
Well, that's all right. to be fair, now you did hit it from 86 yards away or something. You know, I'll give you that. You know, I will give you that. Paddy, I'm going to cross to you. I mean, through your career, I'm just going to pick out the 2002 final, because that's what we're talking about, type of thing. And who was the best player you think you played with that day?
Our captain that day, Eamon Doherty, was brilliant. He got the Man of the Match award, and he covered every blade of grass and the pitch, as well as won every tackle that he went on there. But you have to mention the Coyes, who there was only one man on the pitch who was going to have the ball there. They scored that goal that he scored, and inevitably won us the cup. So it'd be a hard one to call between them two. The NLM2 would have been full deserving of Man of the Match that day. I thought the two of them were brilliant for the team, and I think Eamon got the Man of the Match award, but the finishing name, there's only one man, on the pitch, or probably in the league, who would have been capable of that type of goal. So if it wasn't for that brilliance, you never know how the game would have ended up.
Fair enough. You know, that's a real manager's answer now, so you're well-schooled in it, you know. So I'll cross over to you, Felix. I'm not going to put the pressure on you to ask about 1995, because you managed, but you played in 89 with, I mean, an array of talent, so... Best player on the pitch on the day. You said you contributed nothing after 11 minutes. But
the funny thing, I mean, I was saying to you earlier, the first match we played against at Daly Mount 0-0, the pitch was diabolical.
Right.
And the pitch for the replay was even worse.
And
they bring out this new ball, You know, they bring out a new ball for a cup final, and it was like a beach ball.
Right.
And that's why the match was so bad. That's the one thing about going to somewhere like the Aviva, or, you know, playing at Lansdowne. At least the surface was decent. Whereas back in, I mean, I don't think it was any of the 22 that really put two passes together. The pitch was that bad in both matches. But I mean, at that stage, Liam had just literally, you know, had been only in the team a couple
right.
of months.
Yeah.
And, you know, you had Duller in the middle of field, you know, a real dog, you know, up for the fight. And it was like a war of attrition.
Well, Barry, I'm going to come to you. And to be fair, I'm going to be really fair. I'm going to be the ultimate referee for you, Barry. You played two finals. I'll give you two picks. How's that?
Well, obviously, 2012, everyone remembers it for Rory Patterson's goals, you know. And mm-hmm. as Paddy said, if it hadn't been for Rory that day, we wouldn't have won the game.
Okay.
He was outstanding when he came off the bench, and two unbelievable finishes from him, to be fair. But you'd have to say Hamlin in 2012. But in 2006, again, we had an unbelievable squad. But on the day, for me, I would have to say Paddy McCourt and Mark Farran, they were the standout performers.
Okay, fair enough. I suppose, I mean, I'll come to you, James. I mean, you can't say about your final, but what's your plans for Sunday then?
My plans for Sunday is, I'm actually, for the first time since the late noughties, I'm not actually working on the final, thank God. So there's a gaggle of 19 of us heading in for the final. So that'll be a good crack. It's the first time I'll actually watch it live in the ground for a long, long time.
That's good.
So that's our plan. There's a lot of people coming together for it. Hopefully it's a good game. Fingers crossed. There's loads of memories of previous cup finals. I said, I have to say this, I've said it to him already. Paddy, with his busted eye story, by the way. I met Paddy after the cup final in 2002 and he had stitches in his eye. And I said, what happened? And I think he was marking Grant that day, were you? Was Grant. So Grant was right, a bit of a... Grant was a bit of a bustler and a hustler, and he said, oh, you hit me in the eye and busted my eye. And I was like, oh, fair enough, that's Grant. I watched back the cup final the next day and realised it was actually the trophy that smashed Paddy's eye.
I think Harry throwing a cup around a place and had me up a fist with.
Well, that's all right. It's an old war wound, Paddy. It's an old war wound, so you should be delighted with that, you know. So, well, you'll be working at it, Kevin, won't you?
Yeah, another cup final down, working and trying to be professional if Derry take the lead.
Well, will you be professional like the time we done the 2012 final? We were bouncing around the media box when we got the third.
I don't know what you're on about, but yeah, that may happen again.
Yeah, I know that might. So, folks, it's fast approaching the very end of the show. It's been absolutely fascinating talking to you all and getting different insights and recalling your memories. And I always ended my preview shows with predictions, so I'm actually going to put these all on the spot and see what happens. You know, Kev McLaughlin, going straight to you. Give us your prediction for Sunday.
Tight. Close encounter with where they've all been this season. And Derry to shade it 1-0.
Okay, right. Felix, give us yours.
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Well, there you are. That's absolutely no splinters on your backside there. You know, James, give us yours.
I think the pitch is going to be a massive thing here. The width of the pitch and the length of the pitch. Shells have gone into a six and a five every time we played against them. And I don't think that'll work. I think we might beat them by two goals. But you know what? It may be even late in the game. But I think we'll beat them by two.
Oh, I mean, I'll not disagree with that. I mean, I'll go to you, Stephen. Give us your prediction for Sunday's final.
As I say, it's going to be very, very tight. It's always a cup final, but I'm hoping for a Derry win, obviously. Probably not going to be much gold. I say it'll be a 1-0, hopefully.
Oh, I'm agreeing with Felix. Derry. Agreeing with Felix and Kevin. That's not too bad. I'm going to leave the last word to a man who I respect the utmost, and that's you, Paddy. So, Barry.
Not signed.
Give us yours, Barry. I mean, you've played in quite a few finals, so what do you think this Sunday when you're sitting around the TV with everybody watching?
I think it's going to be a tight one as well, but I agree with James. I think it's going to be 2-0 to Derry, and hope get the second goal later on in the second half.
Very good. Paddy McLaughlin, good old Craigaman, club and full manager, give us your prediction for Sunday's final.
2-0 Derry for me.
That's it. Short and sweet. That's the way we wanted it, you know. And well, folks, time has caught up with us. As I said, it's absolutely fascinating talking to you all and getting your memories. That's the Match Night Live team's FEA Cup special ahead of the final. It just leaves me to thank all my guests, Kevin McLaughlin from Derry Journal, James O'Toole, Match Night Live, one of our men down in Dublin, Barry Malloy, Paddy McLaughlin, Stephen McLaughlin, and Felix Healy, ex-players, and of course, Felix, one of the first actually to play and manage, being from Derry and winning it for Derry. So, as I say, now it's over to you, all the fans who are listening, it's over to you, Red and White Army, cheer the team on, and let's bring that cup back home to Derry.